Welcome to the Wasatch Gazette, a public affairs program produced by Cumulus Media Salt Lake City. If you would like to submit an interview request for the Wasatch Gazette, please email mike.parsons@cumulus.com. That's mike.parsons@cumulus.com. Now, here's the host of the Wasatch Gazette, Mike Parsons.
My guest this morning is Kenner Kingston. He is ArchNexus president. Good morning, Kenner.
Good morning.
It's great to have you on this morning. This is a little different than stuff we usually talk about on the Wasatch Gazette, but it's something that you're doing locally here that is very cool. Salt Lake City ranks number 7, unfortunately, for the worst air quality in U.S. cities, and that is something that we need to address. And it seems like the politicians are always talking about we need to do something about it, but nobody ever does. Now, your architectural nexus, you've decided to do something during the COVID pandemic that nobody has done in Salt Lake City. First, tell us a little bit about your company. What does your company do?
Well, so we're an integrated architectural practice with, and what that magic word integrated means is that we have architects, landscape architects, interior designers, visualization artists on staff, in addition to a number of other really important specialists like the folks in our accounting department and, you know, others. So this integrated practice is able to look at architectural problem solving from all angles. And we're about 115 person firm with offices and headquartered here in Salt Lake City and an office in Sacramento.
Now with the COVID,
sorry
with,
about that.
Oh, no problem. So with COVID and the pandemic and everybody home, you saw an opportunity to do something to your building. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, so you know, we made the choice to work from home because we can. We're very lucky as knowledge workers to be able to do that and keep our staff safe. While we had been envisioning a multi-phase remodel of our office that would take place over as many as 5 years, would have a certain amount of disruption and certain cost premium associated with doing it incrementally over time. And we realized that the silver lining of the pandemic was that while we were out, we could kind of recompact that scope for the remodel into a single unified phase of demolition and construction so that it could get done and we could really achieve our long-term goals in a very short amount of time.
And your goal is to be the first commercial building in Utah to achieve living building certification. What does that mean?
All right. Well, that's not a very short answer. The Living Building Challenge is administered by the International Living Future Institute. I'll refer them to them in this conversation as ILFI.
Okay.
The ILFI to Living Building Challenge, as the USGBC, or the United States Green Building Council, is to lead. So they're the parent organization that manages the certification system. I know many of the listeners will have heard about LEED. Well, LEED is great, and LEED has done a really good job. I remember as I was graduating from the University of Utah Graduate School of Architecture, it was called at the time, in the late 90s, LEED was a hot topic. And I was fortunate enough to be invited by one of the founding partners of a parent firm of the company that I lead today to get my LEED accreditation. That LEED accreditation was obtained in Sacramento, ironically, where we now have we actually own and operate a living building there in Sacramento, the first in California. Well, the interesting thing about LEED was at the beginning of the LEED curve, I was saying, well, LEED Platinum, that seems so difficult. I may never see a LEED Platinum building. 10 years later, we owned one. The building we're remodeling right now is the only LEED Double Platinum building in the Intermountain West.
Oh, wow.
So it's LEED Platinum for new construction, for the way it's designed and constructed, but then we also received the Platinum certification for the way it's operated, that it actually achieved its goals. Therein lies the problem with LEED. I'm sure you've heard about the stories about LEED buildings sometimes not operating up to prediction, LEED is a program that's organized around predicted results, not actual outcomes.
Okay.
LEED for new construction. There is a LEED product for actual outcomes. That's the LEED EB or LEED existing building product. But there's not a lot of uptake on LEED EB because it's a lot harder. Well, the Living Building Challenge answers that problem. The Living Building Challenge, you can only get certified as a living building if your building performs correctly for 12 months after construction. It's called a performance period. And so the reason that matters is because there's a lot of green promises getting made in the architectural, engineering, construction industry, but there's not a lot of actual results being delivered. There's a lot of greenwashing. There's a lot of talk of net zero. There's a lot of conversation about healthy building materials, but who's actually doing it? Well, a LEED certification doesn't measure results. It measures a commitment, which is nice,
right,
but that's not the same thing.
So what kind of standards do you have to achieve to be that living building?
Well, the rating system has 20 imperatives, and they range from everything from site-related characteristics of the design, which are categorized in a portion of the rating system called place, to social equity factors. It's the first building rating system to legitimately include social equity as a consideration. But at the core, I would say, just as a for instance, of those 20 imperatives, the three most difficult in order of difficulty are a materials imperative called the Red List, wherein you have to vet all the materials going into the building to be certain that they don't include known toxins like lead, asbestos, arsenic, which, believe it or not, are still being placed into building materials today because we don't have a nutrition label system or program that's federally mandated for building material ingredients. The next one would be net positive water, which requires that a building be designed with the natural water cycle in mind, that it be capable of running off of the rainwater that falls on the roof. It's this basic metaphor that nature only creates organisms that are relevant to place, or place makes sure that only organisms that are relevant to place actually, survive through natural selection. And so the concept is, what if buildings were organized and engineered and sized according to the limits of their environment? What if you needed to be able to function off of the rainwater that falls on the roof?
Yeah.
That's net positive water. The third one is net positive energy. Net positive energy is the need and the ability to produce more energy on site, right on site, than you consume on an annual basis. You have to produce 105% of what you will consume on an annual basis and then prove that up with actual results.
Those are very steep, and that makes sense why you would be the first one to achieve this in Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Now, can the public come see this building? Where is it?
So our building is at 2505 East Parley's Way. Parley's Way is actually the top of 2100 South. It makes a dog leg towards the interchange there at the mouth of Parley's Canyon. And our building is under construction right now, not open for tours.
Okay.
But by the middle of June, we should be moved in and operating. And by the middle of July, I think we'll be ready to give tours. We'll be settled in between the 4th and the 24th. And in the meantime, we actually have a virtual tour that's available online that's fairly interesting at vr.archnexus.com. That virtual tour has interactive capacity to teach folks that engage with the model. It gives them a chance to look at how the water system works in a pretty detailed way.
That is very cool. And I love in your press release here, I'm just reading about how instead of just building a building, you think of building a building and having it be part of the natural ecosystem the same way a flower or a tree would. That's a whole different way of thinking about building a building than maybe 50 years ago, where it was just, is it going to be safe? Are people going to be warm enough in the winter and cool enough in the summer? And we don't care about anything else.
Well, I concur. It's kind of next level. So, the exuberance of the latter half of the 20th century is one that is kind of based around the philosophy that technology will save us. I think the sustainability movement, which LEED is a part of, grows out of that set of ideas that says, maybe we need to find a way to manage that technology for better results, right? And that's that kind of attitude about sustainability that says, if all of us strive to create a sustainable future that kind of reach a net zero kind of environment, we'll be okay, right? The problem is the vast majority of the population is focused on not reaching sustainability, right? That is a very difficult goal for a lot of folks. And so what's interesting about what's happening now is the Living Building Challenge is part of a design movement that calls itself the regenerative design movement. It's the horizon beyond sustainability that says, what if we stopped trusting technology completely and started looking to nature for solutions? It's funny because before we paved over a lot of this place, nature had a system for managing stormwater. Nature sized its organisms to the resources that were available to it, both water and energy, sunlight, right? And so what if we started to design with those things in mind, put our appetite a little bit in check, and then, you know, still relied on technology for those things that work. But, you know, up until we designed our living building in Sacramento, I'd been involved in zero buildings in my career that had natural ventilation as a strategy, besides residential. Residential will always accommodate it, but commercial buildings tend to lock out that basic, fundamental, easy, natural strategy that can be used for a good part of the year, even in an extreme climate like Salt Lake City.
It's fascinating. There's so much more we could get into. Just the last question, though, how much more does it cost to build this way than in the traditional way?
Well, that's a really good question. It does cost more, but what you have to remember is it comes with a massive operational saving. Okay, so our building, when we bought our building, it was consuming about $50,000 a year of dollars worth of energy in both natural gas and electricity. Over the course of our 10-year ownership of the building, we've been able to reduce that down to something more like $30,000, $32,000 a year. After this remodel, our energy costs will be zero.
Hmm.
Right? So there's a benefit, right?
Right.
That means there's a payback. So does it cost more to put a power plant on your building? Yes. Does it save you money? Yes. We're a long-term owner of the building. We are an employee-owned company. When we drive down our operational costs, we actually increase share value
right, for
our employee owners. And so say it's the same thing with water. If we're not buying water, the price of water will go up over time, even though it seems to be more heavily managed and subsidized than energy in our particular community. The cost of water will go up. This will help us save money long term. And so we feel like the payback is really there. So what's the cost in concrete terms? I've told clients for many years that a LEED Platinum building might cost them 5 to 10% more than an average building. We think we're in the middle of testing whether this is true or not. We don't know until we're done with the process, but we're hoping that the premium for a LBC building is a Living Building Challenge building is somewhere in the 10 to 15% range. And meaning it's just an increment above.
Right.
But, you know, talk to me in 6 months. We'll have better info.
Well, and 10 to 15% is not that much when you think about the long-term investment. Kenner Kingston, ArchNexus President, thank you so much. So fascinating. Give us the website again so we can go take that virtual reality tour.
Yeah, so the company website, which you should also check out, which has an entire section on living buildings, not just the ones we own, but some that we've been involved in the design of, is archnexus.com. And the VR site is vr.archnexus.com.
Kenner, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.